Good morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible. I'm Pastor David Gennaro, and I am going to be talking about the prosperity gospel this week. Now, right off the bat, I got to tell you, I do not like the prosperity gospel. And this is the message that is taught over and over again by probably the majority of preachers you will see on Christian television today, unfortunately. I believe the prosperity gospel is a message teaching you how to be prosperous and successful in a way that is different from how the Bible talks about these things. Now, I will also tell you right away, I do believe the Bible wants us to be prosperous and successful. The purpose of this program is to grow your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. And when I say the ultimate resource for life, I mean the Bible is God's wisdom and God's instruction teaching us how to have the best life possible. And that includes being prosperous and successful. But the prosperity gospel preachers have taken that message and that good teaching that's in the Bible, and they have twisted it, or I would say replaced it, with another set of teachings that the Bible simply does not support. And therefore, the prosperity gospel message today, I think, is harmful because it distracts people from what the Bible teaches about how to have a prosperous life and gives them wrong ideas about how to pursue that and what to pursue. All right, so today and throughout the week, I'm going to be defining what do I mean by prosperity gospel. I'm going to be telling you what's wrong with the prosperity gospel. But more than that, I don't want to just criticize. What I want to do this week is to replace the popular prosperity gospel with what I would say is a true prosperity gospel, one based on God's word found in the Bible. So that's my goal this week. I'm going to try to avoid using names and individuals. I think there are a number of preachers on TV who are well-intentioned, are kind, are people I would imagine getting along with really well, and it's not my point to tear them down, and you may like some of these preachers, but I want to present some of their ideas to you and evaluate them from what does the Bible say about how to have a prosperous and successful life. Because I think too often in this debate, and this is a debate in the church today, there is a very strong popular pull towards the prosperity gospel. And then there are many other Christians who say that's wrong, that's not in the Bible, that's heresy, we need to get rid of that. And I don't see a lot of people kind of standing in the middle and saying, hey, let's not just criticize and tear down. Let's actually say what is biblical, what does work, what is the true prosperity gospel. And that's one of the big aims of this program. So let's get into it. What is the prosperity gospel? And there is no one easy definition. Some people would say that the prosperity gospel is when a preacher says, if you give financially to my ministry, then you will receive a lot more back to you financially, somehow, in some mysterious way. If you sow a seed, is the common popular terminology. If you sow a seed in my ministry, if you give $2,000 to my TV ministry, then God is going to bless you. You're going to have thousands and thousands of dollars come back to you financially. And I believe that is one form of the prosperity gospel. I do think that is wrong. I don't think you can support that kind of message from the Bible. And I would not give to ministries that are promising. The reason we give is not so that we get more in return. The reason we give should be to glorify God and honor God in our life. And the blessing of being part of a ministry financially should outweigh, doing it for the purpose of getting even more money back in my own pocket. So I have a lot of problems with that message, but I don't think that's the entirety of the prosperity gospel. Again, there's different ways of defining this, but let me tell you how I define it, because I see these themes come up again and again. They deal with how to have a prosperous life, and they replace biblical teaching with unbiblical teaching. And there are four areas that I see this happening in all the time. So I'm going to identify those four areas, and then throughout the week, I'll come back and break those down one at a time. So the prosperity gospel, the false prosperity gospel, the unbiblical one, I think it does four things. Number one, the prosperity gospel pursues health, wealth, and comfort over glorifying God. And so you will hear preachers say, here's what you need to do in order to have either good health, financial increase, or other stressful situations and problems like a divorce, abusive relationship, you know, anything that's really uncomfortable and causing stress and pain in your life. Those are all things that you can get rid of if you follow their method. And there's little or no talk about glorifying God as the goal of your life. And when you don't have the right goal, when you make worldly comfort your goal rather than glorifying God, it's setting you up for failure. And so that's the first characteristic of the prosperity gospel. It teaches you to pursue health, wealth, and comfort over glorifying God. Second, the prosperity gospel focuses on the here and now rather than eternity. Everything in the prosperity gospel is about how you can be healthy now, how you can get a promotion now, you know, how you can get comfortable again now, how you can enjoy the things of this world. And there is very little talk about the long run, about the fact that God can sometimes allow us to have suffering in order to produce something that from an eternal perspective is good and worth it. Paul talks about this all the time. He talks about all the suffering, but he says the glory coming outweighs it all. And the prosperity gospel removes that perspective and evaluates prosperity simply by what's happening today. And I think that's problematic. A third thing the prosperity gospel does is it often substitutes means other than obedience to God's word to get results. It often substitutes means other than obedience to God's word to get results. And so, for example, your words have power, according to prosperity gospel preachers. If you speak the right words, if you have the right attitude, if you have a vision of good things coming to you, that's how you obtain what you want and how you become prosperous and successful. Whereas the Bible clearly teaches that it is by meditating on God's word and putting it into practice, obeying God's word. That's what the Bible says over and over again is the key to being prosperous and successful. And, you know, instead of obedience, prosperity preachers typically talk about these other methods to obtain prosperity. All right, the fourth one is the prosperity gospel guarantees certain outcomes. And here's where the prosperity gospel is particularly dangerous. I do think that the Bible teaches, and God teaches us through the Bible, certain principles that if we put them into practice and obey them, we will generally be healthier. We will generally have better finances. That is a biblical message. And that can take place here in this world. I'm not talking about only thinking about, you know, heaven and the life to come. I think the Bible offers us a lot of practical help for this world. But the Bible does not guarantee those things. The Bible does not say, you do this and you'll get this in return. Instead, the Bible presents example after example of righteous people who endure great suffering. And the biblical answer to why is that is God says if he's allowing you to suffer, it's because there's some even greater good that's going to be accomplished through that suffering than if he just simply made your life comfortable and problem-free all the time. But the prosperity gospel doesn't have that perspective. The prosperity gospel views it as a transaction. If you do this, you'll get this in return. And that means if you're not getting health and wealth, it's something wrong with what you're doing. It blames the victim. The person suffering just isn't believing enough, just isn't saying the right words enough. And I think that is a very dangerous situation to put someone in the mindset of it's all their fault why they're suffering, rather than looking for the opportunity that God can accomplish great things through it. I'll break these four categories down one at a time starting tomorrow. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.